Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Joel chapter number 2 this morning, Joel chapter 2. I wanted to entitle this, Countdown to the Rapture. Countdown to the Rapture. I preached recently. Brother, I do believe that it got unplugged. And so the battery is dead. So I'll just, that's it. And it won't work without power, will it? But I'll just stand right here. Y'all can hear me okay. It's not a matter of you hearing me out there. It's a matter of them hearing me on the internet. And then also radio and things of that nature. So anyhow, but how many of you paid attention to something? Something fantastic happened on this past Friday. Something that the world was aware of this past Friday. Anybody know? No, it was my birthday. Tina's right. It was the moon, wasn't it? Joel chapter number 2, and I know some folks, Janie and Linda, they take notes, and so I have to watch what I say because they write everything down. If you are writing scripture verses down, let me give these to you this morning. This is kind of a prelude to what we're going to be starting tonight. I thank Brother James for the kind comments he made last Sunday, and I don't claim to be no Bible theologian. I don't claim to be a scholar by any means. I would love to share with you tonight, beginning tonight with the book, beginning with the book of Revelation. Now, we have done this study some years ago, but things have changed. Some of you were not here several years ago. And so we'll begin with chapter 1 and go through chapter 22. Yes, it will take us probably a year and a half. If the Lord doesn't come back, if he comes back, then y'all just go right ahead. I'll leave my notes here, and somebody can pick them up and go with them. Amen? There's a neat little video I just saw, and I'd like to share this with you. Not this morning, but there's a church that did a neat little video about the return of the Lord, and if it happened on a Sunday morning, think about it. And I'll just tell you the video, if you're on Facebook, you're on If you go on my timeline, you can see it. I post, repost it. There's a whole movie, a full-length movie over an hour if you'd like to watch it. I haven't watched all of it. But what happens is they're in a church service, and Jesus comes back. And there's clothes laying around, and there's people that's crying, and they're saying, Lord, I thought I was saved. And they start telling them about, Lord, if you know, I was giving up the club, and I was giving up this, and I was thought that I was ready, and he's come, and people are coming in. What's going on? What's happening? And Jesus has come. Well, friend, there is coming a last Sunday. There is coming a last Sunday. It may be today. It may be next. I don't know when, but there will be a last Sunday. Amen. And if you're not ready, then you better get ready because he's a-coming. And I believe he's right at the door. Now, Friday, July the 27th, was a mark in history. You may have not even paid much attention. There was a whole lot said about it. But I'm going to show you some scripture verses here. And then I'm going to tell you what happened. And then I'm going to try to finish the message that I started about 3 weeks ago. And then we're going to do communion. So I hope you brought your lunch with you today. Amen. That was a joke, son. That was a joke. Well, we'll get you out in plenty of time. I know. I told my wife, I said, I'm conscious of the time. We've got business meeting at 5 and then starting a new study tonight. So we'll get you out in time. Joel chapter 2, verse 31. How many have found the book of Joel? All right. Little minor prophet, although it's a minor prophet, he's got a lot of major things to say. And Joel gives us a sign of the coming of the Lord. Now, let me just say this again so that you understand it. When we talk about the coming of Christ and the day of the Lord, it is in two phases. We're talking about when he comes with his saints, and then we're talking about when he comes for his saints. When he comes for his saints, it's called the rapture. The parousia, the Greek word meaning to catch away. And in the rapture, he is coming unannounced. There are no signs of the rapture. Mark that down. There are no signs. His coming is imminent, means at any moment. He could come before 12 o'clock. He could come before I finish preaching. He could come tonight. He could come. By the way, it will be daylight somewhere when he comes. It will be night somewhere when he comes. But he's coming again. Now here in Joel chapter 2, verse 31, Joel gives us another piece of the puzzle, and Joel is talking about the second coming of Christ. In the Old Testament, the word rapture was never mentioned. It was never taught because of the kingdom of God. The church came into existence on the day of Pentecost, and we are living in what's called the church age now. This is an age of grace. God has opened up the avenue of grace so that you can come in. But there is coming a day when the grace of God ends and the judgment of God begins. Right now, you're under grace. But if you're here when the rapture takes place and you're left behind, you will be under the almighty judgment of God. You'll be in the tribulation period. I'm preaching to Bible believers this morning. I'm preaching to folks that understand the Bible today. Amen? And if I cannot back it up with Scripture, then I'll take a back seat any day. But Fred, what I'm about to tell you, I firmly believe that the coming of Christ is very, very, very near, even at the door. Amen. Joel 2:31. The sun shall be turned into darkness. And read this next one with me if you found your place. And the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Joel said, there's a sign given in heaven. That sign in heaven is the moon turning to blood. Acts chapter 2 and verse 20. You don't need to turn there. Peter is quoting the book of Joel. But Peter is telling the church in the New Testament, folks, if you want a sign to look for, here it is. Acts 2:20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10 through verse 12. If you'd like to turn there, turn over there with me for a moment. 2 Peter 3 verse 10 through verse 12. Peter gives a glimpse of what this world is going to be like. Listen to me. God destroyed this world one time with water. Y'all do believe in the worldwide flood. Say amen.
Amen.
This world was destroyed one time by a flood. And God said, I will never destroy the world again by water. And he gave us a sign. It has been corrupted by a certain group of people today. But God gave a sign in the sky as a symbol of his covenant, of his promise, that he would never destroy the world with water again. And every time that it rains and the sun glistens through the sky and you see a beautiful rainbow, that is God's sign that he said, I will never destroy the world with water again. However, God will destroy this world through fire. There is coming a fiery judgment. Everything that is around you is going to be ashes one day. I wonder, as I ride through and I look at some magnificent homes that have been built, some that are built even today, and I wonder what people are thinking. You know, it used to be, back in the 50s, a little house. My wife and her family grew up in just less than 1,000 square foot house, and there were five kids and mom and dad in that one little 1,000 square foot house. Today, I know I used to work with a guy that had a house, and he had three little girls, he and his wife, and it was 7,000 square feet. He had one here, and he had a 6,900 square foot house in Virginia. He rented out. He said, "Boy, I wish I had one that size." Honey, let me tell you something. Doesn't matter if it's big or little, it's going to be ashes one day. The car you drive is going to be ashes one day. Everything, listen to what Peter, I didn't write it. Listen to what Peter says. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat." The elements. I'm not a scientist, but you have a periodic table of elements. You have the elements of this world, the metal of this world, the copper and the zinc and the gold and the silver have a number, and they have a symbol. Do you realize that it takes heat to melt the elements of this world? My daddy was in World War II. He was on a troop ship anchored off of the coast of Nagasaki in 1945 when they dropped the atomic bomb on Nagasaki. They went in 30 days afterwards. He took photographs, brought them back home. It got so hot in that atomic bomb, it literally melted the sand and it ran like water down through Nagasaki. That was 1945. Peter says there's coming a day that the elements of this world, they're going to be melted and they're going to run just like water. Read on. "The earth also, when the works therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved." Now, listen, Christian. If you know that everything you've got is going to be ashes one day, everything you own is going to be toast one day, why do you put so much work and emphasis in something that's going to be destroyed? Are y'all with me? Why do you want to accumulate so many goods down here when you know, if this Bible is true, that one of these days it's all going to be burned up? And yet, people will work their fingers to the bone, spend countless hours, sacrifice to have goods and have things. Friend, we have got our priorities out of kilter. We've got our priorities out of place, because everything down here is going to pass away. But one thing that will never pass away is the souls that you win to Jesus Christ and the things you do for God. They're laid up in heaven. Amen. Read on. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought to be in holy conversation?" That means holy living. Live with eternity and value. Live so that you can make an impact on somebody else's life. Live so that you can point somebody else to Christ, because one of these days it's all going to be over. Read on. "What manner of persons you ought to be in holy conversation, godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God." Now watch it. "Wherein the heaven shall be on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat." The last scripture verse this morning, Revelation 6 and verse 12. If you care to turn there, Revelation 6, verse 12. I'm coming to a point. I'm going to read you a newspaper, two newspaper articles. that appeared on Friday or Saturday. Revelation 6:12, and I behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, we'll get into this, I'll explain this in detail, the judgments of God. There are three sets of judgment. There's a seal judgment. There's the trumpet judgments. There's the vial judgments. They will take place in the tribulation period. Literally, and I say this reverently and respectfully, but all hell will break loose on this earth. You will not begin to imagine the pain and suffering and sorrow. You say, preacher, why? I thought God was a God of love. He is. And he sent his son to die for you. He let his son go to Calvary. His blood was shed for you so that you don't have to experience this, that you can escape the judgment of God. But if you reject Jesus Christ, my friend, there is nothing else left but the judgment of God. Listen to what he says. John, the writer, he says that I beheld him and he had opened the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And if you're reading this with me, and the moon became as blood. Following articles taken out of a Indian newspaper that appeared on the internet. Listen. Sky watchers around much of the world watched a complete lunar eclipse that is the longest of the century. It was visible on July the 27th from different parts of India amid a cloudy night. During this rare phenomenon, the moon turned a bright red and was visible in India as well. NASA predicted the lunar eclipse will last for close to 1 hour, 43 minutes, starting late at night on July the 27th and continuing till the early hours of July the 28th. In addition, the event was also visible in parts of South America, parts of Europe, Africa, Asia, Australia, all of the Asia, including India and Eastern Africa. The entire eclipse included two partial lunar eclipses. The first part of the lunar eclipse started around 11:44 p.m. On July the 27th. The moon turned red only at the highest point of the total lunar eclipse, which started around 1 a.m. on the night of July the 28th. A phenomenon lasted till around 2:43 a.m. on July the 28th. The following article is taken from CBN. A blood moon appeared in the sky Friday in a show of the longest, listen to this, the longest lunar eclipse of the century. In case you don't know what a century is, that's 100 years. So in other words, in your lifetime, this is the longest lunar eclipse in your lifetime. Within 100 years, nothing like this has ever been seen again. NASA said the total eclipse lasted 1 hour, 42 minutes, 57 seconds, the partial eclipse that precedes and follows will mean the moon actually spends a total of 3 hours, 54 minutes in the Earth's shadow. That is a record-setting eclipse in our lifetime. It began around 1:15 Eastern Daylight Time. At the exact time, astronomers say Mars is also coming closer to the Earth than it has in 15 years, which means the red planet is shining brighter than usual, right as the moon is also turning red. Some Christians believe the blood moons are a sign of the fulfillment of prophecy. Pastor John Hagee, author of the 2014 best-selling book, Four Blood Moons, believes that throughout history, the blood moons have been a sign from God to the world that something big is about to happen. Blood moons are mentioned in the Bible, including the book of Joel, the book of Revelation, and the second epistle of Peter. Hagee told CBN News in the past, the evidence is clear scripturally that God controls the sun, the moon, and the stars, and that God is sending a signal through the sun, the moon, and the stars. The question is, are we listening? Hagee also noted that the three tetrads of the blood moons in the 20th century, now listen to this, coincided with the major events for Israel and the Jewish people. Do you all remember, if you were here 2 or 3 weeks ago, I preached about the nation of Israel. I touched on the nation of Israel. And Israel, if you want to know what's going to happen in this world, keep your eyes on the nation of Israel. Israel is the budding of the fig tree. You were here 2 or 3 weeks ago. May 1948, Israel became a nation. She flies her own flag. She hadn't done that in centuries. But in May of 1948, and some of you were living in 1948, some of you listening to me were living in 1948, you saw Israel bud as a fig tree. And the Bible said that this generation, the generation that saw Israel become a nation, shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Hagee goes on to say that tetrads of the blood moons in the 20th century coincide with major events for Israel and the Jewish people. 1492, if you've ever studied history, you know 1492 was the year in which Columbus discovered America. In that year, there was a blood moon. In 1492, the Jews were expelled from Spain, and Columbus discovered America, which would be a safe haven for the Jewish people. 1948, another blood moon. Israel was reborn as a nation. And then another blood moon. In 1967, some of you, as I was a young person, in 1967, we had the Six-Day War with Israel when they recaptured Jerusalem. Another blood moon the same year. Again, more recently, Hagee believed the series of blood moons in 2014. In that 1 year, 4 years ago, four blood moons appeared. And they coincided with the former President Barack Obama's nuclear deal with the nation of Iran. This year, just the other day, July's blood moon is the second of 2018. And with the last one happening on January 31st, during the rare blue blood moon spectacle, it has some Christian leaders speculating its significance. Indiana pastor Paul Begley said in a YouTube video, "We are already in the end times, and now we are waiting for the return of the Messiah." Friend, he's a coming back again. Quote, "These blood moons have always happened on a significant days of prophecy." Begley said in his latest video, and if you study the blood moons of 2014 and 2015, the four blood moons, Pastor Mark Blitz and Pastor John Hagee made everyone aware that back in 2014, 2015, they happened. Listen to me. God does everything in order. God, if you will study this book out, by the way, let me just say this. No man knoweth the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. So don't you look at me and say, "Preacher, what day is he coming?" Because you don't know and I don't know. But that doesn't mean that I can't tell the signs of the seasons. I can ride down the road and I can see that the corn is coming in. I can see that the tomato plants are coming in. I can see that the produce markets are full. Why? Because that's a sign of the season, that now is the harvest. Now it's the reaping. It was a planting time a few months ago or a few weeks ago. Now it's harvest time. Listen, what am I saying? Is that when you see the signs of the times that are happening, the harvest is plenteous. It is time to get ready. Get your loved ones in. Do what you're going to do, because Jesus is coming back. Now here it is. If you study the Old Testament, you will find that everything God does, he does in order. It's not haphazard. He has certain feast days. He has certain times of the year. Two of those feast days, the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles, coincided with the blood moons of 2014 and 2015. Coming up in September, it's going to be the Feast of Trumpets. I don't know about you, but I just got a feeling when the rapture takes place, it could be right around the time of the Feast of Trumpets. You study the Old Testament, you'll know, and I'm just whetting your appetite. Be back tonight. When God told Israel, I want you to blow a trumpet. There are two reasons. Why you got your Bible? Turn with me. I'm just talking off the top of my head right now. I ain't finished. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians 15:52. Well, I wish I could walk out there and I don't have my microphone. All right, if you found it, say amen. All right, now I want to explain something in a minute. In the Old Testament, God told the nation of Israel, I want you to blow a trumpet, and I want you to blow it twice. When the nation was camped, a man would get out and he would sound a trumpet. And that first trumpet blast was to wake the people up. The second trumpet blast was to call them all together to move out. Every time that they set up camp, two trumpets. Now watch this. 1 Corinthians 15:52. Well, let's look in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall all sleep. We all shall be changed. I'm not talking about outward change. I'm talking about a glorified body. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the dead in Christ rising. I'm talking about the living that's going to be changed. This corruptible put on incorruption. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. When? In a moment. The word moment goes back to the Greek word meaning atom. Atom is smaller than a molecule. The smallest part of matter is an atom. Not an A-D-A-M, but an A-T-O-M. In a moment. Hear me out, friend. You're sitting here today. You're not ready to meet God. 2 seconds just went by. Faster than a second. Faster than a speeding bullet. Faster than you could say amen. Faster than you could pray a sinner's prayer. Jesus will be here and go. In a moment, in an atom, in a split second. Now here's what I want you to see. And the twinkling of an eye is not the blink of an eye. It has been measured by science as the moment that light reflects off of your eye. The eye's an amazing part of your body. Your eye gathers light, and then in the back where there is the retina of your eye, it casts an image. It's upside down. Your brain takes that image, turns it around, and that way you can focus and you can see. He's not talking about the blink of an eye. He's talking about the very split second that light enters to the eye. The moment of light that hits the eye. One thousandth of a second. That's how quick the rapture is going to happen. Now watch this. Read it with me if you found it. Please. At the what? I can't hear you. At the what? Now, I'm not a rocket scientist. But if there's a last, then doesn't that mean there has to be a first? If you're second in line, that means somebody's ahead of you. If there's a last, first. I believe that there'll be two trumpet blasts. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The first trumpet blast is going to call the dead to life. It's getting awful quiet here. It's going to resurrect the dead. Y'all do believe in that, don't you? Every loved one that you've had to take out and plant in the cemetery and dig a hole. By the way, I've said this, I read it somewhere. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. In life, there's a lot of inequalities. There's folks in this room that's got money. There's some folks in this room has no money. There's folks in this room perhaps are listening to my voice that have position, power, good job. Some folks, unemployed. There's a lot of inequality. Some folks live in a little old shack, while some live in a mansion. But do you realize that death makes everybody equal? Do you realize that the richest man on the face of this planet still has a grave the same size as a pauper? What is it? 6 by 6 by 4? Is that right? They're all the same. There's going to be two trumpet blasts. One to resurrect the dead. The second one is to call the assembly together. And we're going to drop this robe of flesh. We're going to drop our clothes. We're going to rise and meet the Lord in the air. Don't worry. You're not going to be naked. You'll be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. Let me finish this article. He continued by saying, sandwiched in between, talking about the Feast of the Passover and the Feast of the Tabernacles, sandwiched in between, what happened? Back in 2014, 2015, sandwiched between the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles, in the four blood moons in between, a war broke out in Israel and many other events. Bagley said January's blue blood moon, was an indicator that something was going to happen. By the way, add it with me. 1948 to 2018 is how many years? 70. What is God's perfect number? 7. Not a coincidence. Not haphazard. Not just a half. God has a plan, my friend. Better get ready. And with Jerusalem, with Israel on its 70th year. Now he says that the July blood moon could mean anything from a newfound peace to another outbreak of war. We don't know yet. That's why you watch the signs in the heavens. You watch these signs of what's going on earth. And you keep an eye on biblical prophecy, because we are living in the last days, Bagley said. We've been living in the last days since Pentecost, by the way. Ever since Pentecost, when the church was formed on the day of Pentecost, we have been living in the last days. The New Testament church believed that they would be the ones that would be taken out in the rapture. That's almost 2,000 years ago. And yet today, as I travel somewhat around this country and I talk to different people, my heart breaks. There used to be some preachers that would preach on prophecy, preach on eschatology, preach about the things that are to come, preach about the rapture, the second coming, preach about the hail falling from the skies, weighing over 100 pounds apiece, preach about the blood, the water being turned to blood, preach about the plagues of God, and now to make and more acceptable to mankind, we have negated that. We've stopped preaching on that. Honey, may I say to you, that doesn't change the fact he is coming. Better get ready. Young people, you sit here today. I sat in your place years ago. I'll be honest with you. When I was a young person, I said, I don't want Jesus to come. I mean, I want to get married, and I want to, you know, have a family. Listen, friend, I don't know when he's coming. One thing I know is for sure. I'm closer now than I was when I was 20 years old. I'm closer now. The world events, I'm closer now. Isn't it amazing? Boy, there's so many things that we could talk about. I like technology. I really do. The other day, I pulled out my phone. My wife and I were together. How many of you know what Google Earth is? So if you don't know what Google Earth is, get it. It's awesome, isn't it? We spent some time together the other day, and I said, "What's this?" I pulled up Google Earth. I punched that, and a little blue dot came up. Got the world to start spinning around. Little blue dot comes up. And guess what? Start going around and around and around, and all of a sudden, it's right there. I touched it again and pulled up a picture. Not real time, but where we were located. It was a picture of where we were. I punched in my address. I looked down, Brother James. Y'all did a great job on my roof, because I could see it. My little red roof in. If you've never had Google Earth, it's amazing. I could put your address in there, and I can bring a picture up of your house. What am I saying? Technology like that didn't exist back in when I was 20 years of age. But today it does. And I do believe this. That there's coming a day when the Bible says that every man on this planet, if you're left behind, will accept the mark of the beast or either be hunted down. How will they find me, preacher? They'll find you. They'll find you. What am I saying? You're scaring me. If I can scare you into heaven, good. But you'd better get scared, not because of what this preacher is saying, but because Jesus is coming back again.